Welcome to the Tomball Bible Church Podcast. We exist to glorify Jesus Christ by making mature disciples to reach the nations. To find out more, visit us online at tomballbible.church.
Kids of all ages, I have a question for you. Don't you just love broccoli? Broccoli's the best. In fact, I was dreaming about broccoli, and the first thing on my mind was broccoli. I've been thinking about it so much, so I thought I'd bring a picture of it and show you on the screen. Take a look at this lovely broccoli. What? That's not broccoli. A lollipop? Really? That is a lollipop. Okay, then I didn't get that right. Well, I didn't just think about broccoli this morning. I also had something else on my mind. You want to know what it was? Orectologus cuniculus. Oh, you don't know what that is? You don't know what an orectologus cuniculus is? Well, let me give you some help. Maybe some clues. It's an animal. It's cute. Fuzzy. Hops. Big floppy ears. Looks like this. What? Where is a lion? Oh my goodness. That is not an orectologus cuniculus. How did that get up there? Man, I thought you guys were telling me there was a lion up in here. And his name is Jesus. That's going to preach. All right. That's good. Oh, thank you for helping me. I was getting a little confused. You know, it turns out that I had something else on my mind today. I don't know if you can guess what it is. I think I've learned my lesson. But I'm just going to rely on you because clearly I've been confused. So I'm going to show you a picture and you guys tell me what you think this is. What do you think this is? What kind of tomb? An empty tomb. Who said empty tomb? Yeah, it's an empty tomb. You seem very confident about that. You seem very confident that you can look at that and say, I know that that is a tomb and it is empty. But did you know that the very first people to see this were as confused as I was, thinking a bunny is a lion or a broccoli is a lollipop? A group of people came in Luke chapter 24, and this is what they saw. They saw an empty tomb. And you know what the Bible says that they were? It says that they were perplexed. Isn't that a fun word? Can you guys say perplexed with me? Perplexed. It means to be really confused, bewildered, and befuddled. I like that word too. I'd like to ask that you actually join me in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, confusion takes center stage as Christ's first disciples encounter the resurrection. They were perplexed and confused, and quite honestly, for those to whom the light of Christ has not shined, people are still perplexed and confused. And the good news is that God's word has the power to clear away confusion. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. So we'll be in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to see three scenes. Each scene has a question, a revelation, and a response. Three scenes with a question, a revelation, and a response. The scenes are these: at the tomb, on the road, in the room. At the tomb, on the road, in the room. I didn't say, who will dance on the floor in the round? I said, at the tomb, on the road, in the room. So we begin at the tomb. The first group of disciples and followers of Jesus were a group of women, and they arose early in the morning, much like our early sunrise folks who will go to heaven first. They'll just be caught up. It's going to be great. They rose early and they had sorrow in their hearts. They went to the tomb so that they could put burial spices on Jesus' body. But when they came, they saw that the stone entrance was rolled away and the tomb was empty. They were perplexed, befuddled, and confused. And in that moment, angels appeared and addressed them with a question. So at the tomb, here's the question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? These women, along with the rest of Jesus' disciples, they didn't understand that to redeem his people from their sin, Christ had to die and then rise from the dead. They didn't understand this, even though he told them very plainly. Just as the children told me very plainly what a lollipop is, what a lion is, and what an empty tomb is, Jesus told them, Luke chapter 18, verses 32 to 33, listen to what he says. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. The passage goes on to say, but they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. The angels bring a question, and after the question, they deliver a message of revelation. They have a word for these sorrowful, now shocked, now very afraid women. The angels revealed in verse 6 of Luke 24, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Angels deliver messages from God. They don't bring their own agenda, their own word. They are delivering revelation directly from God to these women, and when they hear it, this time, something changes. Their perplexity, the confusion dissipates. It goes away. Luke 24, verse 8 and 9 says, and they remembered his words. The angels delivered words. They remembered Jesus' words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. The text says they remembered, returned from the tomb, and told the other disciples. Their response was one born out of faith. Their Lord was alive, and they took the message straight to his other followers. However, as the scene goes from at the tomb to on the road, we find that their message fell on unbelieving ears. The next scene, on the road, tells of the account of two of Christ's disciples leaving Jerusalem, heading to a community called Emmaus. And as they were going, they were discussing between the two of them all that had happened in Jerusalem, the confusion and the chaos and the loss of hope that they had. They thought they were celebrating a king. Yet here they were going home, empty and confused. A third person joined their party, only this third person was who? It was Jesus himself. Jesus walks alongside them. He acts as if he doesn't know what has happened, and he's like, what are you talking about? What's been going on? They're like, where you been? They couldn't believe he hadn't heard about all that had happened, so they told him everything that they had seen. They saw him crucified. They saw his tomb. These two even saw the empty tomb and heard the report of the women, and yet they didn't know. They couldn't see. And Jesus posed this question. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Jesus questions them, saying, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer and enter glory? in order for Jesus to pay for sin or to atone for our sin, he had to die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is what? No forgiveness of sins." Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for sin. The only sacrifice who could pay for our sins, because he and he alone could be innocent of sin. And even though he was innocent, God the Father made his Son become sin for us. And he willingly sacrificed himself to pay for our sins. I know that many of you are familiar with the cinematic retelling of the Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson. I think the most stirring scene for me is when Christ is about to be crucified. He's on Golgotha. The cross is there. Everything is getting prepped. The way they depict the scene is that Jesus falls to the ground and then he crawls on top of the cross. A demonstration that what he was doing was willing. He took the cross. He gave up his spirit and he died, because that was the only payment that could be made to take away sin. On the road, Jesus told them these things and shared a meal with these two disciples. And as he shared this revelation with them, their lives were changed forever. It says in Luke 24, verse 27, Jesus said, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Jesus began with the covenant promises made to Abraham. He talked about the freedom of the Hebrew people out of captivity. He talked about the establishment of the kingdom and God making a promise that someone from the line of David would reign. And he drew the line and connected the dots through all of the prophecies to say, "I am he, I am he, I am he, the Messiah has come, I'm risen." Luke 24, verse 30 says, "When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." I find it very interesting that in each of these scenes, with the question and revelation, there is still a lack of understanding and belief. They heard the account from the women. They saw the empty tomb. They heard the voice of one talking about the Messiah. And then bread was broken and they saw who he was. They really saw Jesus for who he was. But it took their eyes to be opened by God. And when understanding came, they immediately responded and they went to the 11 disciples who still did not know what to believe or think. Even with the testimony of the women and now the testimony of these two other disciples. We started at the tomb. We went on the road. Now we go in the room. In the room are the 11 disciples of Jesus in Luke's account. These men were with him from the beginning of his ministry. They saw him still the storm. They saw him walk on water. They saw him open the eyes of the blind and open the hearing of the deaf. They saw Lazarus rise from the dead. Yet they were very confused. And as the 11 hear this latest account of what happened on the road to Emmaus, Jesus miraculously appears among them, and they lose their ever-loving minds. chaos ensues. They were shocked. They were scared. They were scared as a bunch of chickens locked in a room with the Chick-fil-A cow. They didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do. And they had more belief that the person in front of them was a ghost than a physical, resurrected Jesus. And in that moment, the voice who spoke the world into existence raised his voice above all the clamor, above all the chaos, and he asked a question. He said, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts?" In spite of all of the evidence, with everything that they had heard and everything that they had seen, they remained unconvinced. Now, with Jesus in the room with them, they had more belief they were seeing the ghost than a bodily resurrected Savior. And here's what I love about Jesus in each of these scenes in the revelation of God. Christ meets them where they are. He meets them in the midst of their doubt, and he gives them revelation. Luke 24, verses 39 through 49 says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "You got anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Now, watch this. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus had showed them the evidence of his bodily resurrection with his nail-pierced hands and feet, and then he ate food. It was a cherry on top to show them he was physically present with them in the room. He reminded them of his teachings, and then he did what must happen for anyone to believe in him. He opened their eyes. You see, this is a spiritual work of God to awake the dead. The blind cannot see. And something must happen in order for eyes to be opened. And Jesus brought understanding to their minds. Understanding met faith. And the disciples went from cowering in a room to receiving a calling to go in his name. And they went. We read their actual response in verses 52 through 53. It says, "And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." In Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 24, verse 2, there's a title given of Jesus that you may be very familiar with, but in Luke's gospel, Luke purposely keeps it until this moment after Jesus has risen from the grave and he is called Lord Jesus. This is the first time the title appears in Luke's gospel. And here in verse 52, the 11 disciples worship him. Only God is worthy to be worshiped and praised. The resurrection of Christ proves he is God in the flesh. Christ has risen, and Jesus Christ is Lord over all. He's both Savior and God. As faith dawned on the hearts of the 11, they worshiped and they went as they were called. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and he is Lord. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and he is Lord. There will be a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the central truth of Luke 24. This is the central truth of all of Scripture. The redemption story of God meets its Redeemer. Jesus Christ is risen and he is Lord. So the scene moves from at the tomb and on the road and in the room to the here and now. Right now, in this space, what is going to be our response to this revelation that Jesus Christ is risen and he is Lord? First, come as you are to Jesus. Come as you are to him. Do you not see how Christ entered into these spaces where there was fear and there was doubt and there was confusion, there was disbelief? He didn't care. He came. He drew near. So come as you are to him. At the tomb, the women were perplexed. On the road, the disciples were slow of heart to believe. And in the room, the 11, the ones who were closest to him, they thought they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus met them right where they were, and he will meet you where you are. Come as you are to Jesus. If you haven't put your trust in him, friends, there is no one else who can save you. It is only Christ and belief and trust in him. If you reject him, you will remain in your sin and face eternal judgment from God. But forgiveness is yours. If you would only believe what the Bible declares is true, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Bring your questions. Bring your past. Bring your sin. Bring it all to him. Come as you are and find that he meets you, and he will open your eyes and open your hearts so that you can see that he will forgive you, cleanse you, fill you with hope and peace that cannot be taken from you. Come as you are by faith. And when you do come to him, go as you're called. Come as you are, go as you're called. Once the 11 came to faith in Jesus, they worshiped and went as they were called. So we must also. We must worship the only one who's worthy of our praise, our great God and Savior. We are not a perfect gathering of believers at TBC. I'm here. This is not a perfect place. We're a group of come as you are people. We all have a past. We all come with brokenness. Yet we have come to the one who can save us, and we worship him. We are here to worship God and point people to Christ, and it matters that you worship the Lord together. This time of worship ought to propel us into being sent in his name. Our going as we are called begins with worship and then goes, well, with going. Which reminds me, kids, I had something else I thought about this morning when I woke up, and I was thinking about a stoplight. What do you do, or what do your parents do when they see a red light? What happens to the car? It does what? Is that right? At a red light, what do?
Stop.
You stop. Okay. So a red light looks like this. Maybe I'm colorblind. What color is that?
Green.
Green? Oh, it is green. It's green. So if you see a green light, what do you do?
Stop.
There's always one, right? Church, I told you that we are not a perfect place. That was me. Hey, when we see a green light, church, we go. The only reason why we don't go is we get distracted. And then with only kindness in their hearts, our neighbors behind us encourage us. I hope you are afflicted by green lights from this point forward. As plain as it is for us to move ahead when the light turns green, our Savior, the risen Christ, has said, go! Go in my name. Don't delay. Don't get distracted. Go. The light has come. It has changed. We have gone from darkness to light. And he says, go! You live for him. You live with resurrection power because of your faith in Jesus Christ. He's filled you with his spirit, not for you to stay on the sidelines, but to go. Go! Love first. Forgive first. Serve first. Because you bear the name and the life of the one who was raised for you. Raised for me, go. May we never look at a green light the same. Church, our response to the revelation that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and he is Lord is we come as we are and we go as we're called. So let us come. Then let us go.
Thanks for listening. To find out more, visit us online at tomballbible.church.